I nodded slowly, like I was deferring to his point of view. The best way to clinch a pending promotion is to let them think you're just a little dumber than they are. It had worked for me before, 3 straight times in the military. Did Dahl actually know what you were planning for tonight?
Yes. We were all discussing it yesterday, in detail, when you saw us talking in the office.
So he set you up?
Yes. He locked up last night and then left Portland and drove all the way down to wait with them. Told them all who was coming, and when, and why.
I said nothing, just thought about Dahl's car. It was about a mile away from Beck's office. I began to wish I had hidden it better.
But there's one big question, Beck said. Was it just Dahl?
Or? He went quiet. Then he shrugged.
Are any of the others that work with him?
The ones you don't control, I thought. Quinn's people.
Are all of them together? He said.
He started thinking again. Another 30-40 miles. He didn't speak another word until we were back on I-95, heading north around Boston.
Duke is dead.
I'm sorry, I said.
Here it comes, I thought. I knew him a long time.
I said nothing.
You're going to have to take over. I need somebody right now, somebody I can trust. And you've done well for me so far.
Promotion?
You're qualified.
Head of security?
At least temporarily. Permanently, if you'd like.
I don't know.
Just remember what I know. I own you.
I was quiet for a mile. You gonna pay me anytime soon?
You'll get your 5 grand plus what Duke got on top.
I'll need some background. I can't help you without it.
He nodded. Tomorrow. We'll talk tomorrow.
Then he went quiet again. Next time I looked, he was fast asleep beside me. Some kind of a shock reaction. He thought his world was falling apart. I fought to stay awake and keep the car on the road, and I thought back to texts I had read from the British Army in India during the Raj at the height of their empire. Young subalterns trapped in junior ranks had their own mess. They would dine together in splendid dress uniforms and talk about their chances of promotion, but they had none, unless a superior officer died. Dead men's shoes was the rule. So they would raise their crystal glasses of fine French wine and toast bloody wars and dread diseases, because a casualty further up the chain of command was their only way to get ahead. Brutal, but that's how it's always been in the military. I made it back to the main coast purely on autopilot. I couldn't recall a single mile of the drive. I was numb with exhaustion. Every part of me ached. Paulie was slow about opening the gate. I guess we got him out of bed. He made a big point about staring in at me. I dropped Beck at the front door and put the car in the garage, stashed the Glock and the spare magazines just for safety's sake, and went in through the back door. The metal detector beeped at the car keys. I dropped them on the kitchen table. I was hungry, but I was too tired to eat. I climbed all the stairs and fell down on my bed and went to sleep, fully dressed, overcoat and shoes and all. The weather woke me 6 hours later. Horizontal rain was battering my window. It sounded like gravel on the glass. I rolled off the bed and checked the view. The sky was iron gray and thick with cloud, and the sea was raging. It was laced with angry foam a half mile out. The waves were swamping the rocks. No birds. It was 9 in the morning, day 14, a Friday. I lay down on the bed again and stared at the ceiling and tracked back 72 hours to the morning of day 11 when Duffy gave me her 7-point plan. 1, 2, and 3, take a lot of care. I was doing okay under that heading. I was still alive anyway. 4, find Teresa Daniel. No real progress there. 5, nail down some evidence against Beck. I didn't have any. Not a thing. I hadn't even seen him do anything wrong. except maybe operate a vehicle with phony license plates and carry a bag full of submachine guns that were probably illegal in all four states he'd been in. 6. Find Quinn. No progress there, either. 7. Get the hell out. That item was going to have to wait. Then Duffy had kissed me on the cheek, left donut sugar on my face. I got up again and locked myself in my bathroom to check for email. My bedroom door wasn't locked anymore. I guessed Richard Beck wouldn't presume to walk in on me, or his mother, but his father might. He owned me. I was promoted, but I was still walking a tightrope. I sat on the floor and took my shoe off, opened the heel, and switched the machine on. You've got mail. It was a message from Duffy. Beck's containers unloaded and trucked to warehouse, not inspected by customs. Total of 5. Largest shipment for some time. I hit reply and typed, "Are you maintaining surveillance?" 90 seconds later, she answered, "Yes." I sent, "I got promoted." She sent, "Exploited." I sent, "I enjoyed yesterday." She sent, "Save your battery." I smiled and switched the unit off and put it back in my heel. I needed a shower, but first I needed breakfast, and then I needed to find clean clothes. I unlocked the bathroom and walked through my room and downstairs to the kitchen. The cook was back in business. She was serving toast and tea to the Irish girl and dictating a long shopping list. The Saab keys were on the table. The Cadillac keys weren't. I scratched around and ate everything I could find and then went looking for Beck. He wasn't around. Neither was Elizabeth or Richard. I went back to the kitchen. "Where's the family?" I asked. The maid looked up and said nothing. She had put a raincoat on, ready to go out shopping.
"Where's Mr. Duke?"
the cook asked. "Indisposed," I said. "I'm replacing him." "Where are the Becks?"
"They went out."
"Where to?"
"I don't know."
I looked out at the weather. "Who drove?" The cook looked down at the floor.
"Paulie."
"When?"
"An hour ago."
"Okay," I said. I was still wearing my coat. I had put it on when I left Duffy's motel, and I hadn't taken it off since. I went straight out the back door and into the gale. The rain was lashing, and it tasted of salt. It was mixed with sea spray. The waves were hitting the rocks like bombs. White foam was bursting 30 feet in the air. I ducked my face into my collar and ran around to the garage block, into the walled courtyard. It was sheltered in there. The first garage was empty. The doors were standing open. The Cadillac was gone. The mechanic was inside the third garage, doing something by himself. The maid ran into the courtyard. I watched her haul open the fourth garage's doors. She was getting soaked. She went in, and a moment later backed the old Saab out. It rocked in the wind. The rain turned the dust on it to a thin film of gray mud that ran down the sides like rivers.